Welcome to the Difference Radio Network, brought to you by thedifference.tv, where you can join us in opening humanity's heart and touching the lives of 6 billion people.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. This is Janetta Haynes from the Difference Radio Network, coming to you this Saturday afternoon at 3 p.m. with Beyond the Heart. And today we're going to talk about Reiki. Beyond the Heart is about looking beyond the logic of science, yet still validating its discoveries. Beyond the physical health of our bodies, beyond the emotional, to our core of our being, and beyond the spiritual that connects us with consciousness. Today, I have with me Christine Shepherd from Lane Cove. Christine is a Reiki master, teacher, practitioner, and Christine is in fact my Reiki teacher. And I'd like to welcome you today, Christine, to the show. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me.
Christine, could you please start by telling us a little bit about your background and about how you became involved with Reiki?
Well, I started out learning French and German at school and at university, and then I went overseas and I was teaching English and studying at different universities in Europe. And after I'd completed my studies, I went and started practicing meditation, which was of tremendous benefit to me in my work. And in 1995, I found a way to use my meditation practically to help other people.
Christine, how did you do that? Could you expand on that a little bit? It sounds very, very interesting.
Well, in 1995, I went to France, and I was staying with friends there, and they told me about this Reiki that they had just learnt that weekend. And they said, Christine, you must do this. You've been telling us that you want to do this kind of work. You want to help people. And so I did the Reiki course. And at the beginning of the Reiki course, when the Reiki master asked us all, why are you doing this? All I could say was, I don't know. Something stronger than me got me here. And at the end of the 3 days of the Reiki course, I knew this is what I'm going to be doing for the rest of my life.
And indeed you have, Christine.
That's very true. I'm still doing it. So when I returned from France to Australia, I started giving Reiki treatments. And then when William Lee Rand came to Australia in 1997, I became a Reiki master. And so this made it possible for me to teach people how to do Reiki on themselves, how to heal themselves.
And Christine, tell me, after you became a Reiki master, what did you then go on to do with Reiki? What are you doing with Reiki now?
Well, after I became a Reiki master, I not only taught Reiki to people, I taught people how to learn how to teach. So I became a teacher of the teachers. And that is the work I'm particularly interested in now, after having done at least 15 years of Reiki treatments and courses.
And you have Reiki share groups, I know, which are on a Wednesday evening once a month for people. Could you please tell people, what is a Reiki share group and what work do you do with that?
Yes, the Reiki Share Group is a wonderful opportunity for people who've learnt Reiki, particularly who've just started with the first course, which is called the First Degree, Reiki 1, to come along to meet with other practitioners who've learnt and to give each other Reiki treatments. This way, they can keep motivated to do their Reiki on themselves continually, and they can also help themselves to heal anything that needs healing and to spiritually progress. Because Reiki is about spiritual progress as well as just healing.
Exactly, exactly. So, Christine, we've been talking about Reiki. For those people out there, this is going across the globe, for those people out there who know very little about Reiki, can you please tell us who started Reiki?
Well, Reiki was started by a Japanese monk, Dr. Mikao Asui. He was given the title Doctor, which is the equivalent of Sensei in Japanese. He wasn't a medical doctor, but this title of respect was given to him because in the late 1800s, he had an experience on a mountaintop in Japan, and this experience was of an infusion of energy of an extraordinary nature. During this experience, he had many insights and understandings that just came to him. And after the experience, he began to use these insights and understandings, which were about healing, which he'd been looking for all his life. He began to use them and to heal people and to teach Reiki to people. And eventually Reiki spread. Today it has spread to most countries throughout the world. And particularly involved in its spreading was a Japanese woman, Mrs. Hawayo Takata, who was an American citizen. She wanted Reiki to become a home art, like cooking, that everybody could access to heal themselves in the privacy of their own homes. And so she taught a large number of women and also some wonderful men. And she traveled and she taught other Reiki masters who were able to take Reiki to Europe, to India, and to all the countries. Also, very largely to Australia. We have had many Reiki masters, some of them Mrs. Takata's masters, who have come to Australia to teach people here.
And Kristen, I believe that you've actually been to Japan and you've actually visited the site where, what was the name of that place where Dr. Asui was?
Mount Karama.
Yes, yes. What was that like? Tell us a bit about that.
That was one of the most wonderful experiences I've ever had, to go to the place where Sensei had his experience of the infusion of energy, and to stand there and to feel this was where it was.
And it would be very exciting to experience that.
That was really tremendous, and I took a photo, and so I look at that photo and remember, and I think with great love of Japan and of what Japan has given us, especially now where they are going through difficult times.
So, okay, tell us, Christine, for those people out there that have no idea about Reiki, what it is, and we now know a little bit about how it started, what exactly is Reiki? What have we been talking about for the last few minutes that we've been talking?
Well, the word Reiki has two parts to it, Rei and Ki, Reiki. Ki is known in China as Qi, and it's the life force or the energy that keeps us living. When we die, our Ki or Qi leaves the body and it can't move or do anything anymore. Everything in the universe that's alive has ki, including plants and trees and animals.
So is this ki like the life force? Is this what
we're talking about? Yes, it is defined as the universal life force.
Mm-hmm.
One of its definitions is the universal, which means it's everywhere in the whole world, where anything is breathing and living and taking in oxygen and energy, even the smallest life forms, snails and all the rest of it. So we are all alive. We all have ki. So this is a very important concept. This ki, or energy, as we go through our life, can be affected in good or bad ways. If we misuse our ki, it can be so negatively affected that we get sick. How we use our ki means the difference between health and illness. So ki is something personal that everybody has. On the other hand, the word rei in Reiki denotes an energy that goes beyond our individual personal energy. This is a higher, completely healthy form of energy that people have connected with from time immemorial.
So would that be something like the connection with the universal consciousness in a way?
Well, that's an interesting concept. I'm sure the ki is in our universal consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
Our universal consciousness perhaps involves more than just energy. There's memory, there are all sorts of things involved in there. Our DNA has been passed from how many millions of years?
Mm-hmm.
So definitely there is a connection, yes, there. Yes.
Okay.
Many names have been given to this invisible energy that manifests sometimes spontaneously, affecting a person always positively. There are many accounts of people who've often, to their complete surprise, come spontaneously into contact with it. I could reel off a list of names, but I'll just mention two. Our religions are full of accounts of these encounters. They always have a life-changing effect on the people who experience them. St. Paul was one of these people. Makao Asui Sensei was another. What's this got to do with the healing modality Reiki, which Asui Sensei developed after his experience on the mountaintop? In Reiki, healing sessions, the ray can be accessed at will by someone trained to do so. When it is accessed in this way, it always brings positive effects.
Okay, so what you're saying is that someone that comes along, they can actually learn how to do Reiki and access this energy and use that energy to transmit healing in some way for their own benefit and the benefit of other people. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, so what can Reiki heal?
Reiki can help with physical problems such as insomnia, high blood pressure, broken bones, digestive disorders, arthritis, headaches, women's problems.
That's quite a list, isn't it?
Well, that's just the beginning.
Okay.
That's just a few things I've mentioned. Basically, because of the nature that I've described what Reiki is, it can deal with anything. Now, this doesn't mean your problems will go away after you've had one Reiki treatment. Physical disorders often arise from emotional or mental causes. So it will involve a healing of these causes. Reiki as an intelligent life force goes to that cause of the illness, which lies at its heart.
So are you saying here that when the practitioner is working on someone, the Reiki more or less knows where the cause is in that person and goes to that place?
That's right, because as I explained about the Ray, this is an energy that is always benevolent and is beyond us, beyond our knowledge. So we don't know how to heal. A doctor can help, but he can't heal. He can do his best. But the Ray, that energy, does know how to heal.
So you're saying that that true healing for us comes from somewhere outside of us in terms of us being finite beings?
Yes. And we can have a connection to that. We have the connection to that. If you want to be spiritual or religious, you can say that's our creator.
Mm-hmm.
God, if you like. Many names have been given to this force. It's all the same.
So, okay, so perhaps on other levels, what are some of the other things that Reiki can heal?
Well, when we go to the emotional level, depression is a big one. A lot of us get depressed, more or less, more strongly than others. Stress is a huge problem in our present very fast-paced society. Chronic fatigue. A lot of women get chronic fatigue. They're trying to balance the children, the home, the husband, the work. And lack of confidence is another one. All these call for a healing, perhaps, of a past event or accident that has brought on this situation. This initial cause does not need to be discussed in the Reiki session.
Okay, so what you're saying is we're not necessarily having to go over and rehash stuff for the person.
No, we don't need to talk at all.
Mm-hmm.
The Reiki does all the work. Talking, however, can be of assistance in helping the person to accept the Reiki energy.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we have difficulty accepting this great energy that is always at our disposal. It's enough for the energy simply to flow. And it can release the blocks and the tension that we've built up around an issue.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, when there's a serious illness, this can take time and perseverance and perhaps what you might call faith, although you don't have to believe in Reiki for it to work.
Okay, so what you're saying is that the number of treatments a person has can vary from person to person. So how do we know? Like, how do we know whether we need one treatment or 10 treatments? How is that ascertained?
Generally, a person will know themselves how they're going. Mrs. Takata used to say, it's very wise always to have 3 treatments at the beginning so that the Reiki can really go very deeply.
Mm-hmm.
And I myself believe in this concept. At least 3 treatments at the beginning, and then later on, a couple of weeks apart or a month apart or whatever is suitable, and then later on, every now and then, as the need arises, the person will feel themselves how they're progressing and what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what else can Reiki do for us?
Well, in the area of relationships, Reiki can be very helpful. Relationship problems can often stem from past events, usually in our childhood. This initial cause, when unexplored, can lead to more serious illnesses such as cancer or immune system diseases. So in the same way, Reiki can also help heal these serious illnesses, always returning to the cause. Sometimes when an illness is defined as incurable by authorities and the person is unaccountably healed, it is because the heart of the problem has been healed and the body follows. On the other hand, sometimes it's too late. I have treated cancer patients for whom it was too late. Reiki was the last option, so to speak. But Reiki was still of immense benefit to these people on all levels, giving them peace and a feeling of security, warmth and strength to face whatever was to come.
So what you're saying, in fact, is that when you use the term too late, you're using it in terms of our life perhaps on this planet, but yet it offered them some sort of consolation for their passing on or passing over. Is that what you're trying to say?
Correct, and gave them a feeling of meaning in their lives. Reiki has a very soothing effect and relaxing, always. It relaxes. This is one of the first results of Reiki that you can feel. You feel relaxed.
Okay, so in that case, perhaps this would be the time to ask you, what does the practitioner actually do, and if I was having a Reiki treatment, what do I actually feel?
Well, the practitioner simply places his hands on or at a distance from the fully clothed person on a massage table and lets the energy flow to them.
So is it always done on a massage table? Do you have to have a massage table there to perform Reiki?
No, you don't. But for a longer Reiki, it's probably the best option. You can treat people on a chair. And in actual fact, in the beginning, Asui Sensei had people treated on a chair.
Mm-hmm.
But in our Western society, I think we like to be comfortable.
Yes, it's very relaxing to just flop down on a table, isn't it?
Indeed it is. You have to have it to experience it. So you don't have to do anything, you just relax. And the practitioner actually doesn't do anything either. He just lets the energy flow through him or her, tuning into it by being receptive and in a meditative-like state, but without directing or having to do anything specific.
So what you're saying, Christine, is that the person does their Reiki training, so there are certain ABC, so to speak, that they need to learn, but then after that, when they're working on the particular clients, they more or less instinctively know in some way where to be directed to. How does this energy flow?
It's first of all the intention to heal that lets the energy flow and directs it. And when this intention is there, then the practitioner can be guided. It can be from within, it can be from the person, it can be in many ways that the practitioner is guided as to where to place his hands, although that's not crucial. There's just a lot going on when there seems to be nothing going on.
Okay, and what about the person receiving Reiki?
Well, the person receiving Reiki has to do nothing at all. It will help if he or she is in a receptive state and relaxed, but there and again the Reiki will relax. So there's nothing else to do. But it is important that the person wants to get well and undertakes any changes in their life that will further that process. So,
okay, so Christine, you're saying it's important that the person wants to get well. Are there instances sometimes when people do come for some kind of healing and the person perhaps doesn't want to get well? Can that happen?
Well, if people can say they want to get well, but there could be many factors inhibiting them, unconscious factors perhaps. Sometimes people have an illness that gives them some kind of security. It's something that they can hang on to. But the Reiki can gradually break down this resistance.
Okay, so what would hold them back?
Sometimes their attitude can hold them back. And we can gain insight into how we can support the work of the Reiki healing by having a treatment, A willingness to accept and change is the only criteria for improvement. It's not necessary. It's not really necessary to believe it's going to work.
Okay, Christine, so tell me, what other ways can Reiki be used?
We spoke earlier about the universal life force, Reiki, and how all life forms, including plants and animals, are filled with this energy. This means that also animals and plants can be treated with Reiki in the same way as human beings.
Okay, so tell me, what ways have you used this in the past, Christine? Have you actually treated animals with Reiki?
Yes, I have treated animals with Reiki. The very first animal, after I received my Reiki course, I wanted to give my brother's cat a Reiki treatment because I knew she had arthritis and she was getting on in years, and I went up to her and caught her, and she wasn't used to me doing this, so she struggled a little bit and I had to let her go. And then I went up to her again and tried to hold her. She struggled a bit. I let her go, and the third time when I went up to her and held her, she suddenly just went limp in my hands, something she'd never done before, and she just lay there. And then she turned her head around, because I was holding her from the back, and she gave me this look of, what are you doing? So she, after that, she would always run up to me and look at me. Are you going to give me a Reiki treatment?
Okay, and I've got a little bit of a cat story myself, actually. For those of you that know me, I have a cat called Biscuit, and Biscuit can be very mischievous at times. And I remember one instance when Biscuit was just a little kitten, and he's learnt now not to eat bugs that are too big for him. He killed this particular bug, and he was attempting to eat the bug, and the bug was, without chewing it, I might add, and the bug was too big for him to swallow. And I was watching him, and I went to stop him, but I didn't sort of really get there fast enough. And then I was watching him, and he started coughing, and this bug had gotten caught in his throat, and he was actually choking on it. And I went up there, and I don't really remember in that instant what I said or what I did, but I know I was calling on the Reiki energy and using the Reiki energy. And the next thing, he coughed up the bug. So Biscuit is still alive and kicking and doing quite well. And also I've had instances where my plants, sometimes I get a little bit remiss with watering my plants, and I find that they get a little bit droopy. And then I remember, and I go over there, and I tend to use Reiki on my plants, and they certainly respond. For those of you that know me and come to the clinic, they know that I've got the plants in my healing room there. So Reiki is something that can certainly, as you've just said, Christine, be used on animals and plants. And while we're talking about that, you said that you went and you picked up the cat several times. Now, does this mean that to use Reiki, we have to actually have the animal or the plant or the person in the room?
Oh, no. You can send Reiki. This is the wonderful thing about Reiki, that you don't have to be present with the person or the animal or whatever it is that you're wanting to give Reiki. You can send Reiki at a distance. You learn how to send Reiki in the second Reiki course using a symbol, one of the symbols. So Reiki can be just as effective when you're sending it, and you don't need to spend a long time doing it. And you can have a photo of someone. You can put your hand over the photo. There's a special way of sending Reiki which you learn in the Reiki 2 course, or you can just have something that belongs to that person, that has their energy, their vibration on it.
So would the person the other end know that you're sending it?
Well, you can tell the person the other end. Sometimes you can tell them, well, at such and such a time I'm going to be sending you Reiki, so let me know how you feel. And some people do give reports of feeling something. Sometimes the healing just happens and the next day they're feeling a lot better. And I have had a friend in Switzerland who was feeling quite unwell, and she rang me, and when we hung up, I thought, right, I'm just going to send her Reiki and see what happens. So I sent her Reiki, and a couple of days later she rang me and said she felt completely well.
Wow. And
that really made me think, gosh, this does work.
Mm-hmm.
This works.
Mm-hmm.
So you just have to try these things out. It's rather like just do it, and however absurd or strange it may seem to you, it can work. And you have to say, well, it must be the Reiki.
So, okay, so Christine, what happens if you've got a scenario perhaps where you've got a relative overseas and perhaps the relative overseas is not really into other modalities and they aren't really open to receiving Reiki? What would you say to people about that instance?
Well, it's very handy that you can program. You can put a program in, a sort of a programming clause, and say to the Reiki energy, if this person doesn't want to receive the Reiki, then may it go to someone who needs it and who does want to receive it. That's the way you can get around that one. So some people may not want to receive, and maybe it's not their time, they're not in the right state. We can't tell what is going on.
That's really good, because it means that you're still honouring that other person's boundaries as to what they actually want to receive and what they don't want to receive.
Yes.
That's excellent. So having said that, we will talk later on, Christine, about Reiki practitioners and how to become a Reiki practitioner. And I need to say that there are organisations in Australia that are for people who learn Reiki. Reiki Australia is one of these organisations, of which I am a member. And I'd like to encourage people at this stage to go and have a look at the Reiki Australia website and see what that has got to offer. And to also perhaps have a little bit of a Google out there for other websites that are blanket websites for people who are Reiki practitioners, where people that have studied Reiki and have gone down the traditional lineage, where they can join. And I would also like to encourage people who are looking for Reiki practitioners to please go to these organisations. They're there for a reason. Now, that is not to say that the person down the road who is not a member of these organisations is not a qualified Reiki master or teacher. And what I guess I'm saying here is to just check out carefully who you're going to for your Reiki treatments. I think this is very, very important. Reiki Australia, I have been with Reiki Australia for some time now as a practitioner, Reiki master and teacher, and I've also received a lot of emails from other Reiki organisations around the world that encourage people to join them. They're, by all means, Reiki Australia is not the only one. It just happens to be the one that I'm a member of. So I would like to encourage people to go and take a look at these. And if you're thinking of learning this modality, to go and look what that has got to offer in those instances. Now tell me, Christine, are you a member of one of these Reiki organisations?
The Australian Reiki Connection is another organisation that I would highly recommend. So if anyone is looking around and they would like to do that, that is a very good thing. One of their members is connected with William Lee Rand, and so one can get services for teaching from those people.
Excellent, excellent. Okay, so Christine, tell me, how does Reiki heal?
Because the Rei is an intelligent energy form, it knows what to do and where to go in the person's body. So the practitioner is just guided to place his or her hands in certain places, and the energy is the actual force that does the healing. The practitioner hands the healing over to this intelligent force. And the best healer is the one who gets out of the way of this energy.
So, okay, so to just recap for the people that are listening, what you're saying is that there, with the practitioner, there is an intention to heal, and after the practitioner has learnt the ABCs of how to perform the Reiki, they then just need to go through those ABCs and let the healing do its job, so to speak. Is that what you're trying to say?
That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes a person may have what is called a healing crisis. They may feel worse than they were before, which can be a bit disconcerting if you don't explain to them what's going on. This is actually a passing event and is a sign that the person is getting well. So they can look on the things that happen like this that seem to be negative as very positive.
So, okay, so what type of things could someone perhaps experience in a healing crisis?
They may have a terrible headache.
Mm-hmm.
They may feel pain in different parts in their body. They might have diarrhea or nothing very serious usually, but enough to make them think, what is going on here?
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
It's very important that the practitioner guides them. But this is a passing event. It will pass. That is the way to cope with it. And it does. It's often 3 days after the event, or it can be less time than that, or it can be later than that, that something happens. And sometimes people don't associate it with the Reiki, because they don't know what's going on in their body. What is happening in their body is that the toxins that were in there before the Reiki treatment, through the Reiki, are being released into the bloodstream. And that's the cause of all the discomfort. If they're smokers, for example, the smoking habit, the toxins that have accumulated over the years may be released through the Reiki into the bloodstream. And this makes them, even while they're, sometimes I've had people on the massage table feeling dizzy, nauseous, ill. And that needs to be explained to them, what is going on. And it will pass.
So these feelings that people have are simply a part of the healing process.
They are.
And a release, in a sense.
Yes, correct. And a very important one. And one that is very beneficial. I'm always happy when people get ill after the Reiki, as long as they know what is going on.
Okay, so tell me, Christine, how does one learn Reiki?
The ability to do Reiki is passed on in a course, a Reiki course. It can't be learnt from a book. You need a Reiki master who passes on this ability through what is called an attunement.
Okay, so what does a Reiki course involve?
Well, in the Reiki course, you can learn how to give Reiki to yourself and how to give Reiki to other people, to your family, to your friends, your children, and later on, when you do Reiki 2, you can learn to treat others professionally. In Reiki 2, you learn the Reiki symbols and how to use them. And later on, in advanced Reiki, you learn additional techniques involving meditation and crystals together with doing Reiki.
And how long are these courses? How long is the Reiki 1 course, Christine?
The Reiki 1 course is one very full day, and you learn quite a bit there.
And Reiki 2, is that also a day?
That is also one day.
And the advanced Reiki?
One day.
Okay, and then what about after that? What if one wants to go on, what happens then?
After that comes the Reiki Master Course. And the Reiki Master Course enables you to teach others. You learn how to pass on Reiki yourself so that others can do it on themselves.
Okay, so Christine, is there a limit on who can learn Reiki?
Anyone can learn Reiki. Even children as young as 3 can learn Reiki.
Yes, I'm a little bit interested in expanding on this, Christine. I know that you've taught children in the past. How is this done?
Yes, I have taught a number of children from the ages of about 3 to 12. And of course it's different if you're teaching a 3-year-old to teaching a 12-year-old.
Oh, I imagine it'd be very different.
Well, interesting, when I taught the 12-year-old, he was taught with 3 other adults. One was his mother, and I gave instructions as to what they would do right at the beginning. He was the only one who remembered the instructions.
Oh, wow!
So children really do take it in. It's something very natural that they are able to understand on an intuitive level. The important thing in the Reiki course is to have the children attuned. You attune the children and then they practice. And they love to do this. They put their hands, their little hands, on the mother or whoever else is in the course. Rather than teaching them a whole lot of theory, which adults need in order to fully appreciate what they're getting from the course and to understand what it's all about. I once taught 4 children, 2 boys and 2 girls and their mother, between the ages of 3 and 9. They were 3, 5, 7 and 9.
Wow.
And it was fascinating. I was delighted that the little 3-year-old was able to sit right through the attunement, 10 minutes, which may not seem long, but there this little child was with his eyes shut. You have to keep your eyes closed.
Oh, 10 minutes is a long time for a 3-year-old.
It was, but this child sat there so still and with its eyes shut, it really impressed me. And the other children all sat through most of the day, and the oldest girl was very keen. She was delighted with what she was receiving and excited. And the children drew pictures. Get them to draw pictures. They like doing that, to have paints or something like that, related to the story of how Reiki came to Usui on the mountaintop. And they were all into it.
So this is how you get the children involved, by getting them to draw what the story is and the theory of it.
That's right, yes. Keep them active and they're very interested in what's going on. And of course their mother was with them, thank goodness. And the mother lay down and got them to Reiki her.
Oh, right, okay. And after you got the little one to Reiki her, what did she say about her experience there?
Oh, she was just delighted to have Reiki coming from her own children.
Okay, so we have the situation where Reiki can be taught to adults, it can be taught to children. Tell me, Christine, are there any situations where one should perhaps not use Reiki?
Yes, there are situations where things need to be taken into consideration. For example, if you have broken a bone and the bone has not yet been set, the Reiki can heal the bone quickly in the wrong direction.
Oh, right.
So Reiki does increase the healing powers, the healing powers that are already in the body, and so the bone will heal too quickly, and that is not a good thing. So it is important that the bone has been set. Having said that, Reiki can even set the bone. So sometimes the bone will click in place, and I teach my students to be very intuitive as to whether they give Reiki for a broken bone or not.
Mm-hmm,
but the general rule is don't Reiki a bone if it has not been set.
Okay. Are there other situations where one should not use Reiki?
If a person is taking, a diabetic is taking insulin, it's very important, they can receive Reiki, but it's very important they monitor their sugar levels. For example, they monitor themselves every day, or their doctor monitors them. They tell their doctor, it's important to tell their doctor they're receiving Reiki. There's nothing, no problem for those who are not taking insulin. They can receive Reiki.
Okay, so once again, as I was saying on last week's show, it's very important sometimes for practitioners in complementary modalities to work in with a person's doctor, if the medical profession is open to that, and to create a situation where it becomes a win-win situation for everybody concerned in the person's healing.
Very true, yes, I completely agree with that. And another situation involving the doctor or medical treatment, it's best to avoid Reiki, giving Reiki in the first trimester of a woman's pregnancy. This is simply because historically seen a lot of when the woman loses the baby or when there's some problem, happen in the first trimester.
Okay, so what you're saying is that because sometimes a woman can lose a baby in that trimester, it's better to just let the woman's own body go ahead and do whatever healing needs to be done and take over and do its own thing there. Is that what you're trying to say, Christine?
Well, rather than having Reiki come in, and the point of this is that Reiki will never do any harm, and so it will not cause the woman to lose the baby. But many pregnancies are terminated in the first trimester for other reasons.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't want the woman feeling, oh, the Reiki did this because I had a Reiki treatment, or the practitioner feeling the Reiki did this. In actual fact, if you have a family member who's pregnant, Reiki them from day one.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and any other instances, Christine?
People with pacemakers cannot receive Reiki. The problem here is that the pacemaker may be affected by the energy. The energy can be perhaps too strong.
Okay.
Reiki can be combined with all other treatments. It will enhance the outcome of these treatments. Such treatments as radiotherapy, chemotherapy, surgery, drugs, any psychological treatment or therapy.
Okay, now Christine, you have mentioned a few times the word attunement. Can you give us some idea for those listeners out there that have no idea what an attunement is? What are we actually talking about when we say the word attunement?
Well, the attunement is the most important part of the Reiki course. It's very short, but this makes you able to do the Reiki. It gives you the connection to the key, to the ray, and enables you to pass on Reiki.
Okay, and this is something that's delivered in the course itself?
It is, and it's delivered differently in each course. As your vibration is raised gradually through the four Reiki courses, the attunement is done a little bit differently. So this is the most interesting part, I think, of the whole process, that this is the way that Reiki is passed on and the way that someone learns Reiki. It has come down from Makawa Sui, probably in a different form from the one that we know today. People are doing research. My Reiki master, William Lee Rand, is doing a lot of research on this. He's been to Japan many times and spoken to Japanese Reiki masters, and they do the attunements a little bit differently. They use what is called a leju, or reju. They attune quite a lot. But in the West, we only attune once, and that's enough. We say that's enough for Reiki to last for a lifetime. You don't have to be attuned again.
So if someone has done Reiki in the past and they haven't used it for, say, 4 or 5 years, where does that leave them with their Reiki?
They can take it up where they left off. They will still have Reiki, and they will probably want to practice and get back into it again. So you don't need to do the course twice.
Okay, okay. And Chris, I believe you mentioned William Lee Rand. I believe that over in America, William Rand does have a Reiki system that is being used in hospitals. Is there anything that you can say about that for perhaps the future of Reiki here in Australia? What could we do with Reiki in Australia?
I think it's really wonderful that this is happening in America, and it should be happening a lot more here. However, there are many considerations. One has to have permission of this and that person. People have to know what is being done. The person has to be properly attuned. They have to be have a proper lineage, and all these considerations. I'm sure when things progress and more people are wanting Reiki and seeing what it can do for them in hospitals, that it will also come to Australia as it is in America at the moment.
Christine, what would you say to people that are perhaps interested in learning Reiki and have listened to this show and they've perhaps been inspired by hearing you speak? What advice would you give them in seeking out someone to teach them Reiki?
Well, it's important to check the lineage of your Reiki master just to make sure that they are a Sui Reiki trained. And sometimes people have been saying that they've learnt in the Usui method, and there are other methods that have been known to be out there. So that is important that you check and just ask them questions. Ask them how long they spent doing their Reiki and what experiences they've had, and just see and check that they are really bona fide Reiki masters, because sometimes people have learnt very quickly and possibly they have not digested what they've learnt. This is something that all of us as Reiki masters appreciate in time as we practice, that it's important to learn it properly and thoroughly and to practice.
And Christine, for people that are interested in learning from you, are you at the moment taking on new students?
Yes.
And where can people find you if they want to learn with you?
The best thing is to ring me on 9428 3696.
And this is in Lane Cove, isn't it?
This is in Lane Cove.
Okay, and for those people that are already Reiki practitioners, could you just elaborate a little bit on the Reiki share nights that you have once a month?
Well, these happen on the third Wednesday of each month, and it's at night between 7 and 9 and 9:30 or 10, and we just come together and share our Reiki experiences. Sometimes people have questions, and other people have stories to tell about their Reiki experiences. And so it's a very good way to motivate people to keep doing their Reiki. It's important, once you've learnt Reiki, not to give it up. You come to the course, it's just a platform for you to go off and to have your Reiki experiences later on.
And Christine, are you? I know you have the Reiki share nights at Lane Cove. If people would like them in other areas and there are enough people to get together, are you open to having them in those areas as well?
Oh, definitely, yes. They are happening in other areas. We have one in Revesby, and we have had one in Manly. So those areas are possibilities.
That sounds really great. We could take Sydney by storm. All right, Christine, I'd like to thank you for coming on the show today. And this show, as you know, it's Blog Talk Radio and it's the Difference Radio Network, and you certainly do make a difference in people's lives with the work that you have done, and you've certainly made a difference in my life as my Reiki teacher, and I would like to at this point honour that and thank you for that. And I would like to now say to our listeners that are out there once again, that encourage them in whatever modalities that they're interested in, to go out and study and learn and to be inspired and to carry on the work that is needed to be done in healing this planet. This TV show, The Difference TV and The Difference movie that will come in the year or years to pass, please keep an eye out for it. Please go to the website, thedifference.com, have a bit of a look around there, see what we're doing there. If you, by all means, everyone out there is making a difference, even in the smallest ways. If you don't think you make a difference, well, I'd like to just say to you to have another look at the things that you do in your life, because everyone makes a difference, even if it's something as simple as handing someone a glass of water when they're thirsty. You've made a difference. So be very aware about the things that you're doing out there in your life and stop to smell the roses a little, so to speak. I would like to say that The Difference film has already made a difference in my life. It's certainly got me to do something which I never thought I would be doing, which is this Blog Talk radio show. And I would like to encourage people to stand up and step up, as Anthony Robbins would say, step up there and be brave enough to do the things that you're perhaps scared of. So thank you very much, Christine, for being here today.
Thank you, Janetta.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Christine.
Bye for now from the Difference Radio Network. Thank you for joining us in opening humanity's heart and touching the lives of 6 billion people.